Matthew chapter 20, beginning with verse 1, hear now the word of the Lord. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About 9 in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." And so they went. He went out again about noon and about 3 in the afternoon and did the same thing. About 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." The workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came and each received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "These who were hired last worked only at 1 hour," they said, "and you have made them equal to us who have been borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day." But he answered one of them, "I am not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Many of us, I think, have a well-developed sense of justice and fairness already built into us in our DNA. If someone is not being treated equally, you know it right away, especially if that someone is you. Toddlers know this instinctively too, as they become very angry when they're not feel like they're being treated very fairly. In our culture, in our times, we highly value equality. If someone is getting paid less for doing the exact same job as someone else because they're a female versus male, well, we rightly get upset because that's unfair. If someone doesn't receive the same opportunities for promotion as everyone else just because their skin color is darker, well, we rightfully get upset because that's unfair, that's unjust. But if someone decides to give your friend $100 on their birthday card and you only received a $5 bill, is that unfair? Is that unjust? Is it unjust for someone to give gifts as they choose? Who gets to decide what is just, what is fair? Well, today our gospel reading addresses some poor attitudes that might cause us to question God's fairness, God's justice, because of the nature of the gospel and the kingdom of God. Sometimes, let's just be honest here this morning, sometimes the gospel rubs us the wrong way. Especially when it's applied to someone else that we don't think deserves it, right? Is the gospel unfair? Well, first, where did this parable of Jesus come from? Usually, Jesus tells us a parable in order to illustrate or teach us a certain spiritual truth. So where is this coming from? Well, if you take a look at what came before our parable about the workers in the vineyard, we see the story about the rich young man coming to Jesus. And you remember, the young man claimed to have kept all of the commandments and asked Jesus, "Well, what am I missing here?" I think it's interesting that he actually knew there was something missing. He didn't have the assurance of eternal life. There was something in his life that was missing, and deep down he knew it. Even though he was doing all these good things, and in his mind he thought he was keeping all the commandments just right, the young man asked Jesus, back in chapter 19, verse 20, "What do I still lack? What am I missing?" He's paid all his dues. He's gone to church every Sunday. He's been a good boy. He's done some good things in his life. Shouldn't all that stack up to earning eternal life? Well, even his own heart was saying, no, there's something missing. What was it? You remember, Jesus told him, if you want to be perfect, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you'll have treasures in heaven. Then come follow me. But the young man went away sad, it says, because he had great wealth that he did not want to part with. He couldn't give it all to follow Jesus. The cost was too high. His attachment to this world and the things of this world was just too strong. His motivation of minimalism didn't cut it. You know, just do a little as possible and keep your nose clean, and in the end we'll get eternal life. But he wasn't able to give his heart, his whole life to Jesus because he loved this world too much. He loved his wealth and his possessions too much. So what does this all have to do with the parable of the workers in the vineyard? Well, you see, after the rich young man left Jesus sad, Jesus told his disciples just how difficult it was for someone who was rich to enter the kingdom of God. And you remember, it was like he said, it was like a camel trying to get through an eye of a needle. That's how hard it is. And so the disciples, when they heard this, they were shocked. How could this be? Because in their view of things, God has certainly blessed the rich person. And if the rich have such a difficult time being saved, who then can be saved, they asked Jesus. And of course, this is where Jesus says, with God, all things are possible. So Peter says, after this, in chapter 19, verse 27, he tells Jesus, he says, we left everything for you. What will there be for us? Is it the future reward that's motivating the disciples of Jesus to love him, to follow him, and to be obedient? Jesus reassures them and says, in the end, it'll all be worth it. But things won't be as they seem now or as you see them in the world, he explains to them. The many who are first in this world, in this life, will be last. And those who seem like they're last in this life will be first, he says in verse 30. Which is the exact same thing that said in our reading today, chapter 20, verse 16, at the conclusion of the parable of the workers in the vineyard, except the order is reversed. Very interesting. The last and the first and the last. So Jesus sees this teaching opportunity, this teaching moment here about what motivates us to serve and love the Lord and to follow him. And so what's he doing? He's illustrating once again. We've had a couple of sermons about the parables of Jesus and the kingdom of heaven. He's illustrating and explaining using parables what the kingdom of heaven is like, what the kingdom of God is like, what kingdom values are like. Because it doesn't always look like what we see in our world. So the parable of the workers and the vineyard. You see, the fairness of God's grace and motivations of God's people come up in the book of Job, too. Satan told God, take away the goodies and the rewards, and Job will curse you to your face. Does Job serve God for nothing? Take away health, take away wealth and money, take away family. Will he still serve you and love you? What motivates you to serve and love the Lord? We left it all to follow you, Jesus, Peter said to him. What's in it for us? What do we get out of it? You're not looking at it quite right, Jesus explains. A great reversal of expectations is going to happen from a kingdom perspective. And that's the perspective you need as my followers, as my disciples. For, Jesus begins his parable, the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day of work. There was a need for seasonal workers, of course. This was harvest time. The grapes needed to be brought in. And when the grapes are ready, they're ready. They need to be harvested, right? So there's sort of an urgency here to get the harvest in, and he needs workers. And one denarius was an average day's pay in Jesus' day, a fair wage for anybody who worked for a farmer. And so he offered them that day's pay. And usually during this time, people would work for their food for the day. And so you'd get this denarius, and then you go to the market and you'd buy some food for your family and provide for yourself and your family. And so you heard the parable. Every 3 hours or so, the farmer goes back out to the marketplace where everyone's standing around waiting to be picked, waiting to be chosen to do some work for the day. And I imagine there are certain young men who probably were chosen first. And if you had a certain limp, or you were older, or you looked weak or sickly, you probably were looked over by the landowner and did not get hired. But the harvest was great, so he kept going back to that loitering spot to find more and more workers. 6 a.m., 9 a.m., noon, 3 p.m., 5 p.m. The end of the workday was 6. He went out again at 5. And people were still standing around at 5 p.m. because no one had hired them yet. So the landowner takes the older ones, the weak-looking ones, the sickly-looking ones, the ones who had a limp, and the ones who didn't look like they could pick very many grapes or last very long in the field because of their limitations. He hires them anyway for that last hour of the workday. So far, nothing unfair, right? Nothing seems very unfair, unjust right now. Everyone seems to have been given a deal, you know, work for me and you get a denarius for the day, or you get paid whatever is right, right? That's enough for everyone to eat, to live off for the day. Everyone will have what they need by the end of the day. And then at the end of the day, it says, beginning in verse 8, when evening came, the owner of the vineyard says to his foreman, call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first. Verse 9, the workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came and each received a denarius, a full day's pay for 1 hour work. Verse 10, so when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive a lot more than that, given all the time they put in. But each of them only received a denarius. Now that seems unfair, doesn't it? Even to us, I mean, it just seems unfair. How could those who worked only an hour receive the same amount of pay as those who worked all day long? As you might expect, those who were hired first, they begin to grumble against the landowner. In verse 12, saying, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day. They've been at it longer. They now have more experience and knowledge. They maybe have a golden nameplate with their name on it on their baskets now. And I mean, they personalized the day, and it's their thing. They've sacrificed. They've given of their blood, sweat, and tears all day long to bring in the harvest of that day. Who are these newcomers? Who are these latecomers to be treated equally? They don't deserve equal treatment. This is unfair. I'm sure any of us would think that too, right? But the landowner in this parable about what the kingdom of heaven is like, remember, this is what this story is about, what the kingdom of heaven is like, what the kingdom of God is like. He says this, beginning in verse 13, but he answered one of them, I am not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you. And don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last. Those who are in the first positions in the world today, Jesus said back in chapter 19, verse 30, will be last. Those who rely upon their wealth and their status and their power, their good looks, or keeping a bunch of good commandments to enter the kingdom. If you're relying on these things in order to enter the kingdom, you're not going to be first in line, like that rich young ruler. In fact, those who know they do not deserve to enter, or think, no, they're not worthy to enter. Those who respond to the invitation at the last minute, they are the ones who will actually be first in line. Jesus says in chapter 20, verse 16, at the end of our reading, so the last will be first, and the first will be last. You see, the early worker should be thankful and grateful he was hired at all by the landowner. He should be grateful he got his needs met for the day. Doesn't the landowner have a right to pay whatever he wants to whomever he wants? You envious because I am generous, he says. The word envious there means having an evil eye. Do you have this evil eye? Do you have this selfish eye? You can only think about your self-centeredness, this greedy eye. Are you blinded by greed that you don't see my or celebrate my generosity toward others, or even seem to appreciate my generosity toward you, my grace toward you in picking you in the first place? So what should motivate us to love and serve the Lord? A promised future reward of possessions and power, authority, a present standing, a status in the church or the family, getting pats on the back for doing ministry, or some reward for the amount of faith you think you have. If your motivation is anything like that, then you'll begin to think that you deserve any reward that you might get. You'll feel like you've earned it, that you've got it coming to you, that God owes you. Just want to remind everybody this morning, God doesn't owe you anything. That's not what the kingdom of heaven is like, Jesus is trying to explain. To our worldly way of looking at things, yes, the gospel is unfair. People all over the place are getting what they don't deserve and didn't earn. People all over the place are getting what they don't deserve and did not earn. That's grace. It's unfair. But here's the scandal of the gospel. It's the same grace equally applied to those who are raised in the church that's applied to the murderer on death row who confesses his sins and repents and believes in Jesus Christ and Lord as Lord and Savior at the last minute. He was picked, he was chosen late in life. But has the same grace that you have received, even though you and your family name are on a golden plate on some pew in some church somewhere because you come from a long line of Christians that goes back generations. It's the same grace. What should motivate us to continue to love and serve the Lord? Gratitude. Gratitude. We are thankful for all that God has done for us in Christ. We are grateful that we were picked, we were chosen when we were yet enemies of God, lost in sin, dead in our transgressions and sins in which we used to live. We are thankful, eternally thankful, that we have been made alive again in Jesus Christ. That gratefulness for the grace that has been given to us helps us to rejoice when others are invited into the kingdom, even if it was at a late hour. For they too have received new life. They too have received grace. They too are loved and blessed, even though they are unworthy and undeserving, just like the rest of us. When others are called to serve in God's vineyard, we welcome them with open arms, and we don't grumble about God's grace or his sovereign choice of who to give it to and when. Our own calling is one of grace, even if we've served for many years and sacrificed much in our service to the Lord and in the church. You see, we tend to turn everything into a measure of earning things and effort. We tend to commercialize the work of the Spirit when we all equally share in God's gift of grace and are equal before the judgment seat because of Christ. So what's our reward if we were picked early in life? What do you think? More time. More time to witness and celebrate God's grace and goodness to us, but also God's grace and goodness toward others. We get to see others get what they need and more than they deserve. We have more time to learn how to rejoice with God and with the angels when one sinner repents and that lost sheep is found and restored. We get more time to learn how to be grateful and glad rather than grumpy when God is generous. Because of the call of Jesus, we get to work in his vineyard. We get to work in his vineyard. And we all equally get what we need. Praise be to God. Let us pray. God of grace, forgive us when we have commercialized our spirituality. Forgive us for complaining and grumbling when others have received your grace and generosity, especially our enemies. Replace our hard hearts of stone with hearts of flesh that beat to the rhythm of your own heart for the spiritually lost and loitering. Give us generous hearts of gratitude so that we may love you purely and love others as ourselves. And Lord, be near to us this week and always as we live according to your true word and as we frolic and rejoice in your mysterious, wonder-working grace. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.